Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and I'm so glad that you've come to share your morning with us. And if you are new today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us today. And so let's start this service by reading our mission statement that's on the front of the bulletin, and Barbara's going to give me her bulletin. And join me in reading this mission statement. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. So that's what we're up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to move back into that place within us that knows, yes, indeed, that infinite one resides at the very center of our being. Not only does it reside at the center of our being, but it is the very essence of our soul, the essence of our spirit. It is that which we have come from, and it is that which we come as on this planet. Here as human beings living this life as spirits and as the incarnation of spirit. And what that means then, that what is true of that infinite one is true of our own innate beingness. That the love of God already lives within us. The peace of God already exists within us. The wholeness that spirit is. The good that spirit is. The authentic power already is innate to our beingness. What happens then is as we come to know that, then we are not such victims to the world. When the world is not reflecting back to us, say, peace or love or kindness or gentleness or whatever it is that we are seeking, we can bring it forward from inside. We can be the presence of peace or the presence of love or kindness or generosity or stand in our own wholeness when somebody is telling us that we are less than whole. That puts us in a place of power where we get to orchestrate and move and be the commanders of our own lives, not just for ourselves, but we bring something different to this world as well. We bring a kindness and a love and that healing that this world is calling for. And so I thank every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing spirit and your own spirit into this world in a way that is beneficial, in a way that is healing, and in a way that is good. Thank you for that. So I'm going to start today actually with a story. It says, when I was 7, my family drove to the Grand Canyon. At one point, my favorite blanket blew out the window and was gone. I was devastated. Soon after, we stopped at a service station. Moping, I found a bench and was about ready to eat my sandwich when a biker gang pulled into the gas station. "Is that your blue Ford?" a huge, frightening man with a gray and black beard asked. Mom nodded reticently. The man pulled my blanket out of his jacket pocket and handed it to her. He then returned to his motorcycle. I repaid him the only way that I knew how. I ran up to him and gave him my sandwich. Not only did that little boy receive his blanket from that man, but he also received love from a stranger. He got the message that he was valuable and that someone cared about him that didn't even know him. And so as human beings, one of the most satisfying things that we experience is that connection with humanity. Connection with another person, and that we feel like we are part of that family of humanity and experience their care. And as spiritual beings, we want to feel love. We want to experience that heart-to-heart connection with another person, and we want to experience the fact that we belong to this family and that we are cared about. And not only do we want to be on the receiving end of that care, but we also want to be on the giving end of that care. We want to be on the giving end of assisting and being of service to other people. And as we awaken to our own spirits, and as we awaken to our spirituality, what happens is we come to recognize that when we are of service to another person, when we are serving another person, that we are actually giving expression to our own spirit. That we are giving expression to that living spirit, called by many names, God, the universe, life itself, the infinite one, Christ consciousness, that in our giving, in our serving another, we are giving way to that in this world. And we, as human beings, have a deep desire to give of our spirit and to give from our spirit. The problem is that so often we are so busy in our own lives that we feel like we don't have the time to be of service to other people. And sometimes we get so focused on the problems in our own lives that we don't feel like we have the emotional bandwidth to actually be of service. And sometimes we aren't of service to other people simply because we don't know how to be of service, or we don't know where to be of service. And sometimes when we are of service to other people, we actually do it out of a place of feeling like we need to fix someone because they are broken. We need to fix them because they are broken or they are somehow less than. But serving in order to fix someone or serving because they are less than feeds our ego, but it doesn't feed our soul. For service is work of the soul. And sometimes when we give to another, when we are of service to someone, we actually do that because we see them as weaker or as needier. And what that does is it creates a hierarchy, and we are up here and they are down here. And when we are in that hierarchy, it actually keeps us from experiencing that heart connection with them. It keeps us from experiencing our spiritual connection with each other. But true service deepens us spiritually. And true service brings our spirit and our spirituality to the surface. And so I'm going to share an article with you that's called Fixing or Serving. It says, Fixing and helping create a distance between people, but we cannot serve at a distance. We can serve that to which we are profoundly connected. Helping, fixing, and serving represent three different ways of seeing life. When you help, you see me as weak. When you fix, you see me as broken. When you serve, you see life as whole. Fixing and helping may be the work of the ego, and service the work of the soul. Service rests on the premise that the nature of life is sacred and that life is a holy mystery who has an unknown purpose. When we serve, we know that we belong to life and to that purpose. Serving is inner work, one soul serving another. From the perspective of service, we are all connected. All suffering is like my suffering, and my joy is like your joy. The impulse to serve emerges naturally and inevitably from this way of seeing. Serving is different from helping. Helping is not a relationship between equals. A helper may see others as weaker than they are, needier than they are, and people often feel this inequality. The danger in helping is that we may inadvertently take away from people more than we could ever give them. We may diminish their self-esteem, their sense of work, their integrity, or even their wholeness. When we help, we become aware of our strength. But when we serve, we don't serve with our strength. We serve with ourselves. And we draw from all of our experiences. Our limitations serve, our wounds serve, even our darkness can serve. My pain is the source of my compassion. My woundedness is the key to my empathy. Serving makes us aware of our wholeness and its power. The wholeness in us serves the wholeness in others and the wholeness in life. Service is a relationship between equals. Our service strengthens us as well as others. Fixing and helping are draining, and over time we may burn out, but serving is renewing. When we serve, our work itself will renew us. In helping, we may find a sense of satisfaction. In serving, we find a sense of gratitude. Joel Goldsmith said, "The only reason there is for living is love." It sounds strange, but it's true. There is no other reason for staying on earth than the opportunity to love. And anybody who has experienced this knows that there is no joy like loving, no joy like sharing, bestowing, understanding, and giving, all which are but other names of love. And so the title of my talk today is Open for Service. And I'm talking about that in serving, we experience our own wholeness and we experience the fullness of ourselves. We experience the unconditional love that exists within us. Serving deepens us, and service expands us from our small self to our greater self. That's why selfless service is a part of so many different spiritual paths. Selfless service is one of the main teachings of Hinduism and of the Sikh religion. It's called Seva, which means selfless service. Seva, or Karma Yoga, asks the adherent to serve others without expectation of outcome, of recognition, or of reward. Seva, or Karma Yoga, enables the person to experience unity and divine love. It allows the adherent to let go of the barriers that create a sense of separateness between us and them. It moves us beyond our ego self. And so there's a story that says, as I walked through the parking lot, all I could do was think about the dire diagnosis I had just handed my patient Jimmy, pancreatic cancer. Just then, I noticed an elderly gentleman handing tools to someone working under his stalled car. That someone was Jimmy. "Jimmy, what are you doing?" I yelled out. Jimmy dusted off his pants. "My cancer didn't tell me to not help others," he said, before waving at the old man to start the car. The engine roared to life. The old man thanked Jimmy and drove off. Then Jimmy got in his car and took off as well. In serving, we experience our wholeness. In serving, we experience our enoughness. We experience not just our ego self, not just our human self, but the fullness of who we are. And so Goldstein said, "To have wings is to have the need to fly. Our capacities determine our needs. It includes being of selfless service to other and to humanity at large. Experiencing and being a place of unconditional love." And Maslow said, "Capacities clamor to be used and cease their clamor only when used sufficiently." We have the capacity to care. We have the capacity to love. We have the capacity to be connected to humanity and we have the capacity to serve, to be of service. And when we are of service, and when we serve that individual whom we are reaching out to, and we also serve the whole, because we are connected to everyone and everything. We serve that collective consciousness. We tilt that collective consciousness. We add to it the good and the love and the oneness. When we are of service, we serve that person's spirit, and we serve our own spirit, and we serve God. And so I have a question for you about serving, and I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and to allow yourself to just kind of move into your own beingness, the place within you that recognizes that there is only one, there is no other. We are a part of it, and it is what we are. And so recognize, too, that we are here by divine purpose on this planet, here as incarnations of that infinite one, here as conduits for the good, for the love, for the light that is the essence of our own being. And so sinking into that place of all knowingness, the knowingness of our own souls, I invite you to ask yourself, how does my soul want to serve? How does my soul want to serve in this world? In what ways might I serve that would feel satisfying and fulfilling to my own spirit? How might I serve? What is the feeling, tone, or the essence of that? What is the feeling, tone, or the essence of the way my soul wants to be of service? And to ask that depth of yourself, in what ways does my spirit want to stretch and to grow? In what ways does my own spirit want to stretch or grow? And I invite you to open your eyes. And if you can wrap that up. And so Harry, who is an emergency room physician, on his shift in a busy emergency room, one evening, a woman came in, was brought in, that was just about to give birth. And when he examined her, Harry recognized that her obstetrician would not be able to get there in time, and he was going to have to deliver the baby himself. Harry liked the technical challenge of delivering babies, and he was pleased. The team swung into action, and one nurse hastily opened the instrument packs, and two others standing at the foot of the table on either side of Harry, supporting the woman's legs on their shoulders and murmuring reassurance. The baby was born almost immediately. While the infant was still attached to her mother, Harry laid her along his left forearm. Holding the back of his head, the back of her head in his left hand, he took a suction bulb in his right and began to clear her mouth and nose of mucus. Suddenly, the baby opened her eyes and looked directly at him. In that instant, Harry stepped past all of his training and realized a very simple thing, that he was the first human being this baby had ever seen. He felt his heart go out to her in welcome from all people everywhere, and tears came to his eyes. Harry had delivered hundreds of babies and had always enjoyed the excitement of making rapid decisions and testing his own competency. But he says that he had never let himself experience the meaning of what he was doing before, or recognize that he was serving with his expertise. In that flash of recognition, he felt years of cynicism and fatigue fall away and remembered why he had chosen this work in the first place. All his hard work and personal sacrifice suddenly seemed to him to be worth it. He feels now that in a certain sense, this was the first baby he ever delivered. In the past, he had been preoccupied with his expertise, assessing and responding to needs and dangers. He had been there many times as an expert, but never before as a human being. He wonders how many other such moments of connection to life he had missed. He suspects there are many. Harry discovered serving is different from fixing. In fixing, we see others as broken and respond with our expertise. Fixers trust their own experience, but may not see the wholeness in another person or trust the integrity of life in them. When we serve, we see and trust that wholeness. We respond to it, and we collaborate with it. And when we see the wholeness in another, we strengthen it. They may then be able to see it for themselves for the first time. And so next week, we are doing a service project here. We are creating toiletry bags for women who are living right now at a shelter for abused women. And we are making cards for older women who are living in a convalescent home, probably without their families, maybe without their spouses. It's an opportunity for us to serve another person. It's an opportunity for us to serve from our hearts to their hearts, to serve from our wholeness to their wholeness, to serve from our spirit to their spirit, for we are each walking this path of our own spirits on this path. Serving in that way is energizing and uplifting for us and for them, because that which they receive in those bags has been imbued with the energy that we have done it from and done it in. It's healing energy for them and for us. And so my invitation to you this week is to shift your idea from helping to serving, spirit to spirit. To shift your idea from contributing to serving. To shift your idea from volunteering in whatever ways you volunteer to serving from your spirit to their spirit. And so my invitation to you is to serve. For serve as a way to serve your own spirit. Serve as a way to serve the spirit of another person. As a way to experience and serve the whole and as a way to serve the one that is the ground of all beingness. And as a result, you will feel your connection with that other person, feel your connection with humanity, and feel your connection with your own spirit. You will experience yourself as belonging to this one human family and experiencing the love that is the ultimate truth of who and what you are. And so blessings to each one of you on this spiritual path of awakening to your own divine nature and the divine nature of everyone. Blessings to you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we turn our attention to that infinite one that is the ground of all beingness itself. That infinite one that expresses itself in and through, around and as every single thing that we see around us. Every single thing that is yet to be. It is all the expression of the infinite love and creative intelligence and boundless good of life itself. And for that is at the center of everything. That one is at the circumference of everything, and it fills everything with its beingness. And so I recognize that we are each incarnations of that most high God, incarnations of love itself, aspects of the one, and aspects of the oneness of this family of humanity, this oneness of all things. For this is our family everywhere we look, from the trees and the flowers, to the birds and the stars and the planets, to every other person. We are each and every one of us an aspect of the wholeness of life. And so today we come to life from that place of wholeness, from that place of being infinitely sourced by good itself. We come to life as expressions of love, and we give from there. We serve from there. And in serving, we are filled back up to overflowing. For this is the nature of life. And when we give of our spirits, we are reenacting the divine one that is always pouring forth, that is always giving of itself. For the nature of the divine and the nature of us is one and the same. And so today we leave here shining our light out in the world, recognizing what a blessing it is to be living in this recognition of spirit as us, spirit as everyone. What a blessing it is to be walking this path from this place of fullness and from this place of love. And so I know that everywhere we go, in everything we do, we are a blessing. For we have already been blessed from on high. And I speak this word not just about us, but about every single person in this world, knowing that the fullness of the presence of God is right where they are, surrounding them, enveloping them, lifting them, carrying them, buoying them, and filling them from within. That it is unfolding itself in meeting every single need. For the gift has already been made, and in our openness, we create an opening within the oneness of humanity. And so a blessing is being poured out in the life of every single person right now as the exact thing they have been seeking. And I speak this word also about every single politician, every single world leader, every single leader of any organization, recognizing that spirit in all its intelligence, in all its creativity, and in all its love is present there. Not just present in that moment, but it is the very heart and soul of each one of those people as well. And that is the thing that is guiding their actions and their decisions right now. The highest love intelligence of the universe unfolding itself right there, right now. And so it is with deep gratitude for this truth that I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself now. For this is a law of reflection. And we send it out and hold it in thought, and it is reflected back as life. And so I release this prayer in gratitude, and I ask you to join me in saying, and so it is. And so I have a couple of invitations for you that I'm going to steal from David. Thank you. And actually, the big one is next week we're doing that outreach project. So if there's still something you want to purchase to put in those bags, talk to Barbara Conant. She has the list. Otherwise, we are showing up at Chris Braunschweiger and Peggy Toole's house tomorrow at 10. Chris, raise your hand if you don't know how to get to Chris's house. Next Sunday, not tomorrow at all. No, we won't be there tomorrow. We'll be there a week from today. We won't be here next Sunday. We're going to be at Chris Braunschweiger's house. Yes, it's a Mother's Day project, so we're getting everything together to give for Mother's Day, so that will be cool. The other invitations are just to follow us on Facebook and check in on Meetup and say that you're coming. We are now posting things on Instagram, and we have a YouTube channel that you can join. And our Sunday talks are posted every single Monday morning. If you are not on our mailing list and would like to get on our mailing list, then those land in your inbox. You can give your email address to Ray Bunch. Will you raise your hand right there, Ray Bunch? And we have prayer support after church. Practitioners are happy to sit down and pray with you. We have a ministry of prayer box. If you fill out a prayer request, we will support you during the week. We have prayer shawls. If you would like to be wrapped in the energy of prayer or know someone that is going through something that would like to be wrapped in that energy, we have prayer shawls on the back table. You are invited to take one with you. The practitioners will pray over it beforehand, and you can gift it to that person. And so I invite you to repeat after me. The love and light of Spirit are within me now. I own it and I share it. I am it. I am a beneficial presence. And so it is.